I'm here again with Dr. Harry Hagopian, and we're going to be talking about Pope Benedict's visit to the Holy Land, May 2009. Now, we look at the Holy Land, political instability, turmoil, economic turmoil, people moving away rather than moving in. And I've read in one of your recent pieces that there's no credible peace process. Now, it's easy to look at this very negatively at a time where obviously the Pope's going to the Holy Land and it should be uplifting. Where are the signs of hope for you in the region?
Well, the fact that the Pope is going there in itself, I think, is a sign of hope. But that does not detract from the fact that there is a political immobility in the region. You asked a very interesting question that in one of my recent articles I wrote about the lack of a credible peace process. What I used to do during the many years I was involved with the peace negotiations on different levels, I never actually came round to calling it a peace process. I always called it a process for peace, because there was a process. People were trying to do something, but it never actually was getting toward what I would consider real peace. And that sense of the process for peace has been ongoing. Sometimes it's frozen, sometimes it kickstarts again. But any of your listeners, viewers, readers would realize that at the moment there is great tension in the Holy Land, and therefore that tension to a large extent emanates from political sources, which then reflect on both the spiritual, faith-based, as well as economic factors that affect everybody, Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike. Signs of hope, the one sign of hope I have is that human beings can rise above the grim political realities and aspire for a better living that is, as the former Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem used to say, a peace for two peoples and three faiths of the region, but a peace that is based on justice, dignity, and security for everyone in that little parcel of land. And I don't think anybody would begrudge anybody either peace or security or dignity or justice.
Well, we're in the UK, and a lot of what we see on television is pretty stark. It might be Lebanon and Israel from a few years ago. Obviously, at the turn of the year, we saw the crisis with the situation in Gaza. Is this a bad time to be visiting the Holy Land?
It might be a bad time, but it might also be a good time. The fact that the Holy Father is going to the Holy Land at the moment to do this pilgrimage, as he said, and is as it has been said, is to go there and pray for peace in the Middle East. Now, I happen to believe very strongly in the power of prayer, and I think if he manages to go and pray for peace, but also help others pray for peace with him. In other words, I'm not only talking on some sort of conceptual level, I'm talking on a very practical level. To pray for peace, to me, it doesn't just mean to go to church, close your eyes, and say, please God, let peace reign on Jerusalem. But it is to labor for peace, to toil for peace, to work for peace. That's also what praying for peace is all about. And if he can manage to help people there focus a little bit more their attention on the need to work better for peace, then that in itself is a big sign of hope and a move forward. But if you're asking me whether the visit of the Pope is going to actually produce a peace agreement, it's not going to happen. It didn't happen in the year 2000, when everybody at the time was talking about concluding a peace agreement between Israelis and Palestinians. It's not going to happen during this visit, but it perhaps helps focus people's attentions on the needs of the region and therefore perhaps produce some little surprises that we might see in the next few days.
Is there some value in the media coverage? The Pope is such a global figure of interest, no matter what your opinion, whether you're Catholic or not. Is there some value in actually just by him being with the people, the Christians and otherwise in the Holy Land? Is that not got some quite serious significance in raising up the fact that the people are there, they're living through this situation, and we need to be, yes, praying for, but also paying close attention to the Christians and others in the Holy Land?
Of course, you need to do that. The Pope is such a global figure that all the media attention will be focused on him and what he's doing. And therefore, the result of that would not only be that people would see where the Pope goes and whom he meets, but they will also learn a little bit more of the context within which he finds himself, the Holy Land. I mean, we talk about the Holy Land, but how many of us have actually read the Bible properly? How many of us know exactly what the Holy Land is all about? What did Jesus do sometimes 2,000 years ago, or what is happening today? So the fact that there's going to be so much commentary, so much analysis, so much time and space, cameras and microphones around, that would introduce a lot of people to the realities of the region. And the realities are not only economic and political or socioeconomic realities, the realities are also to remind people, and a lot of people in the West tend to forget this, that the Middle East also includes local, and by local I mean born there, indigenous Christian communities, be they Catholic, be they Orthodox, be they Armenian like me, be they Reform Anglicans, Lutherans. There are many Christians in the region, whether in Jordan, in Israel, in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran. All these countries have large local indigenous Christian communities. And the fact that the Pope is there, first of all, shows to the world the existence, the presence, and the witness that these communities undertake day in, day out in their lives. And secondly, it would help lift their spirits up because somebody would actually take notice of their presence, of their witness, and of the fact that they're very heavily involved in all the good and bad things that happen in this part of the world.
Now, if we look at the itinerary, we can see that the Pope's going to naturally a large number of very significant areas in Christ's life. But do you think there are one or two omissions in there?
Well, we'll have to see actually how it goes. My own personal experience with Pope John Paul II is that the best laid plans sometimes tend to go awry. And therefore, sometimes you have to play it by instinct almost, because you add things, you subtract things because of time, because of physical energy, because of political realities, because of the needs of the Christian communities there. So in a sense, it would be very interesting to see how this Pope, who's not a 20-year-old lad anyway, so we need to also give relevance to his age. He's going to meet a lot of people. He's going to meet with Jews. He's going to meet with Christians, local and otherwise. He's going to meet with Muslims. And let us not forget that in Jordan and Palestine, where he will be two of the three countries he's visiting, the majority of the people there are Muslims, with the smaller Christian local communities. So all this is fine. But if I were to look in terms of an omission, one thing that pains me is that in all the preparations that were done for this pilgrimage, for this prayer for peace, as it were, during those few days, Gaza, that little strip of land that is almost a no man's land because of all the political problems associated with it, that the Holy Father is not going to visit that strip of land. Why do I single out Gaza? I single out Gaza for many reasons. One, because some of your readers or listeners mightn't be aware that there are actually local Arab Gazan Palestinian Christians living there, be they Orthodox, in other words, Greek Orthodox, for instance, or Catholic, usually of Latin Rite Catholics. And it would have been tremendous for these people who are basically, who find themselves hemmed in, sealed into a small parcel of land, to have this light, this sunshine come into their lives, even if it's only for a small prayer. That makes a qualitative difference. We're sitting here in London comfortably talking about how people feel there. But just imagine yourself for a minute that you find yourself in a box and you can't get out of that box. And then somebody comes, stretches out a hand, which is almost biblical, and you come out of that box. The difference that makes to, even if it's only a momentary difference, it recharges your batteries. That to me is very important in terms of why the Pope should have gone to Gaza. The other reason is because I believe that a large part of the papal visit or the pilgrimage is also one that focuses on the ministry of reconciliation. And if that is what we are trying to do, what better example to take than Gaza, where reconciliation is desperately needed amongst Palestinians themselves, let alone amongst Israelis and Palestinians who keep shooting each other, and they're almost as close, living as closely to each other as you and I, with you holding a mic in my face.